Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Busy week here at KeyBank Center on the heels of Disney on Ice. Four games in the next 8 days and a Bandits game here Saturday night in rematch of the championship as Albany comes in and the Bandits look to maintain their perfection. But for the Sabres, it's Boston tonight, Nashville here on Friday as part of Razors Night, New Jersey on Sunday, and then the Jackets on a week from tonight. So tonight, it's again, we're expecting Luukkonen and Swayman as the goaltending matchup, and there'll be some finalizations to the Sabres in-game and actual 23-man roster as this day moves forward. Nick Obey-Cabell was placed on waivers yesterday, so that will finalize itself at 2 p.m. today, and we'll see what in the way of other changes Buffalo makes. Kozak would be a logical recall, but you could also look at Roseanne potentially from Rochester.
I might have to call the league on this because years and years and years and years and years, it was always Noon. Noon was the waiver claims. Noon was the waiver, the updates, and all of that. And our show's at noon. Be great to start the show, knowing what's going on around the league. Give updates, right? But then we're not on at 2:00, so I think I got to call the league and try to move it back to noon. I know it's 9 o'clock a.m. out West Coast, so they're trying to facilitate. But 2 p.m. is pretty close to game time for the Eastern teams.
Maybe if you're doing a matinee, but otherwise it's not that close.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm in my nap. Like, I'm in my, like, you call me, you say I'm getting called up at 2:05. Like, I may say, no, I'm not ready. I haven't gotten my routine in yet.
There have been...
I'm not saying no, by the way. I'm saying yes every time. I don't care.
There have been a lot of big stories in the NHL since last we were on this show. Almost hard to believe that we're not really talking about Mikko Rantanen, but and we can, but maybe,
well, we can.
Maybe we do it for another time. Kirill Kaprizov is front and center right now as far as the latest to hit the sidelines. Going to be gone for about a month.
Yeah, minimum of 4 weeks. He's got to have surgery. He's been...
Did they say where the surgery?
Like, no, they did not say. They just said he had to get
geographically
surgery.
Geographically or anatomically, is that right?
No, we're not doing biology today, but here's the thing. He has been bothered by an injury, missed some time, came back, he's missed again. Basically, they said he needs to get a surgery. It's not season-ending. Week to week with a minimum of 4 weeks. The Four Nations face-off is coming up, so that's going to take 2 weeks out of the equation, so it's pretty good. Yeah, we have a metal detector going off
security
next to us.
Security breach. Yeah.
Absolutely. Addie, I don't know what you're doing, but she's setting it off. It's okay. We'll be good.
Okay, so they tried to navigate without Kaprizov. They've been obviously really uneven. Of late,
Gustafson's not making the trip either. I think they're going on the road. He's been bothered by a small injury as well and not played well, so it's probably going to be Marc-Andre Fleury.
They're 7 points, well, 8 ahead of Vancouver, who are in wild card 3, which doesn't exist, obviously.
First team out.
Yeah, they're in a tricky... I mean, they're only a point behind Dallas, but they've just been so uneven now for the last 20-plus games that it does make you start to wonder. And their blue line had been decimated for quite a stretch of time. So Minnesota, a team to certainly keep an eye on. Logan Thompson.
Yes, nice contract, by the way.
Well, that's where we're going. So... what do you make of this deal for Logan?
I think it's really good for Logan. I think, look, could he have waited a little bit and UFA in the summertime and maybe you kind of get the rumor mill going and maybe you get a few more dollars? Absolutely, he could have. But it's also a kind of a gamble you take. Is the second half going to be as good? Are you going to be performing in the playoffs. What if all of a sudden Charlie Lindgren outperforms you in the last 2 weeks of the season, takes over in the playoffs, and you're sitting there? Are you getting that six-year deal, right, at 5.8? It's a really, really solid deal for him. I think it's more than I thought he was going to get. I had him at about 4.8 to 5.2. That's where I thought Logan Thompson was going to be, but I think it's a really good deal for him, and if he performs the way that he's been performing this year, it's a great deal for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, obviously it's going to spell the end of Charlie Lindgren's time there, unless Charlie takes a lower deal moving forward to maintain the tandem that has been incredibly effective for them. All right, you sounded eager.
Wait, I just want to see something, because our buddy James in AFP Analytics in Rochester, they had Logan Thompson at a five-year deal, $6 million.
So basically the same. Got six times six. So,
but what I'm saying is that it's, look, Washington probably are pulling the same type of evaluation numbers, and they're like, hey, at 5.85, we'll definitely do that. I thought it was a little bit more than I would have gone, but he's a quality goaltender.
You've had more time now to digest the Rantanen deal, which has him in Carolina. And it has Natchez and Jack Drury as members of the Avalanche, and they had a fortunate game in their second game with the newcomers on Sunday against the New York Rangers. The more you digest Rantanen, what he did or didn't get offered in Colorado, the fact they are I think they're a good team, but they chose to move off of a absolute superstar at this time of the year. In Rantanen, what are your thoughts days after now that this dust continues to settle?
My thoughts are this obviously is a shocker. You heard Nathan MacKinnon talked about the first game, basically saying, I'm completely shocked. Wasn't expecting that. Never would I have thought that Rantanen was going to leave or that the organization was going to, you know, trade him. The only reason why Colorado did it is because they were getting a player like Marty Natchez in return. Like, teams have traded superstars in the past, trying to get a package of players in return. Like, Joe Thornton going from Boston to San Jose. In return, you got Wayne Primo, Marco Sturm, and I don't even remember
who else.
There's
a big difference there, though. All due respect to Joe.
He wasn't, like,
they hadn't won.
Yes.
Rantanen's won a cup. He's been an elite playoff performer, at just like Joe was an elite regular season performer, but there was baggage following the Bruins because they hadn't ascended with him as the top pick. That's completely the opposite for Rantanen. He's exceeded expectations. And
that's why I'm saying you needed to get a superstar back.
But you didn't.
You got Natchez.
You have Rantanen. Like, why would you trade him in season? Like, I get what they're trying to do. But if the numbers are as close as the numbers, and if MacKinnon comes out and says, anybody that knows me knows I don't care about being the highest paid player on a team, all that. Like,
the numbers are coming out now, and obviously people are speaking. Rantanen said, I wasn't going to take anything less than, a lot less than my value, right?
Right.
Well, what is he evaluating himself at? Mm-hmm. Some people are saying he was evaluating himself at $14 million, like Leon Draisaitl, knowing that Connor McDavid is probably going to be at $15 million, and guys are going to continue to go above that.
Yep.
So the word is that Colorado offered him slightly over Nathan MacKinnon, which would be in the 12.6 to 12.75 range. He wasn't going to ask for the same percentage of the cap as Nathan MacKinnon. Nathan MacKinnon was at 14.2%. You look at Artemi Panarin, the highest paid winger, was just slightly over 13%. So if you put that on a $93 million cap next year, you're getting close to $13 million. But if he wants to be above Panarin and closer to Draisaitl, you probably had to go to about $13.5 million to get Mikko Rantanen signed. And we'll see. If he signs with the Carolina Hurricanes, what is that number going to be? What is he going to be comfortable to sign? The big thing is that Rantanen was going to be moved only if Colorado was going to get a star player, which they feel like they got in Marty Natchez. So it will be, and another thing that was in Saturday headlines, like they do that on Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman was talking. He said some teams right now are worried about the salary cap because the salary cap within 2 years will probably be over $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago when we had a lockout in 04, 05 and we came back to play, the salary cap was $38
million.
Mm-hmm. So, 38 or 39?
39.
39 million, yes. So we have gone from...
floor was 21.
21,
or like that.
Yes, yeah. Because it was a 9 plus 9 minus 9. So we went from 38 in 2005-06 to now going to be over $100 million. Some teams are saying we will not be cap teams more than now. And Colorado may be one of those teams that are saying we are going to be in the 93 to 96, 97 million, but we won't be at 102. We won't be at 103. And if Rantanen wanted 13.5 million, then that means you're probably going to be at 100 plus million, and Colorado's not comfortable with that.
Well, maybe they have more up their sleeve, so to speak, as far as getting to the deadline and adding more. The challenge for the Avalanche for every single game this year has been that they've been nowhere close to full health. And part of that was Nichushkin's suspension, which lingered into November, and then he's not been healthy. Lehkonen hadn't been healthy. Drouin's never been healthy. Wood was injured. Landeskog has never come back. And on it goes. They have turned over, at least by my count, last time we looked last week, 9 players on their 23-man roster that weren't in the organization a year ago.
Yes.
McFarland has been that
both
busy.
Both goalies.
Right, exactly.
And now with Natchez and Drury, that's four. There's been so many added players.
So you applaud McFarland for trying to stay ahead of it. Do you think that because you have a little bit more cap space, do you think they believe that Landeskog is going to play in the regular season?
That is one thing.
Or do you think they're just going to not sit him? Do you think if he returns, he won't return until game one of the playoffs?
Well, I mean, my first thought was, they're probably freeing up some cap space because they think we have to fit Landeskog, and then Nichushkin will come back, and now we're like going to be putting ourselves in a tough space,
right?
Spot. So I think that it could be a possibility. And if by the time they get to March 7th, which is a trade deadline this year, they don't have good news on Landeskog, then you have that money to use to go. And I just think they felt this was a dead end with Mikko Rantanen. Mm-hmm. And as some people are asking, well, do you think Carolina can re-sign Mikko Rantanen to the money, to maybe $13 million? Because
yeah, they can.
The Hurricanes have not been a team that are going to spend that much money. But
that's not true. They were willing to spend it on Gensel, and he chose not to stay there.
He chose not to go, so. But like, Aho is making almost $10 million, but they're going to lose.
They have the room. The Carolina beat writers laid it out immediately after the
deal.
Orlov
is 7.7. Burns
is 5. Is the big one that's going to free up a lot of this. Plus, the cap going up and losing Burns basically gives you more than enough.
You're not keeping Orlov at almost $8
million.
Well,
I would. I mean, look at their defense corps. I think he's been good. It's
$8 million is a lot for Dmitry Orlov, okay, I just think.
He took a pretty short and fair deal to stay there. Sure, he could move on, but if you keep him around the same number, again, they've got enough guys coming off the books, plus
Freddie
the cap
Anderson's
rising,
coming off the
that
book.
They're going to be able to make it work for Rantanen, even if Mikko is at $14 million. That'll be their decision whether they want to go that high. So.
It will be interesting because Eric Tolsky, now in his second year as the general manager, is like really kind of added a different approach to how this gets done. We saw the Seth Jarvis contract that was like deferred money, and now this transaction, like, okay, let's see what else he's got in the bags of trick to maybe sign Rantanen to a long-term deal.
Okay, we got a break back after this on Sabres Live for maybe one more thought on the Rantanen deal. Oh, yeah, and game night. Stay with us.